Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host, and joining me this morning, Dr. Bernita Adams Robinson, and she is founder of Proverbial Peace Revive Ministries. And I attended this past week's Woman to Woman, Keeping It Real session, and we talked about defining self-love. We talked about love, simply love, and it's the most important principle, tenet, covenant, whatever you want to call it, in the Bible. It really is, because if we don't understand how the love that Christ has for us, we can't love other people and we can't love ourselves.
That's exactly on point.
Yeah. So good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Talk about, because we talk about these, the three types of love, but you have a fourth one in there. So talk about those types of love.
Yes. Well, the Bible is very clear on the concept of love. And in our modern vernacular, we use love for everything. We love ice cream. We love trees. We love people. But the Bible has four different words for this thing called love. Eros is romantic love. That's love for our spouse. Filio is that social, friendly love, love for our brothers and our sisters. Storge is love for our family, a motherly type love for your children. And, of course, agape is that universal, unconditional, non-judgmental love, and that's the foundation for everything. Agape is the love that Jesus had for us that took him to the cross. And our problem in today's society is we forget about agape. Eros has been totally transformed to mean something it should not. And all the other type of love we feel is conditional. If they don't do this, then we don't love them. Mm-hmm. If they do this, we draw back our love. That's not love. That's emotional roller coastering.
It is.
So we're going to talk about agape, having that agape foundation, because when it comes to knowing how to love, if you don't love with an agape foundation, you don't know how to love.
It's true. It's true. When you really look at it in what you defined and laid out for us at the Woman to Woman session, I would venture to say most of us don't know how to love.
I would venture to agree with you.
Yeah.
Because agape, it seeks the well-being of.
Mm-hmm.
Agape embraces everyone, despite what you may think of their lifestyle, despite what you may think of what they're doing, is not conditional based on them doing what you want them to do.
Right.
Agape says, I love you despite our differences.
Mm-hmm.
I love you despite the fact that I don't agree with you. But first and foremost, and this is what I want to focus on today, agape starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with you loving yourself. Because if you don't love and accept you, how can you love with an unconditional heart others? And my experience, and I think our discussion on Saturday, Woman to Woman, Keeping It Real, was sometimes we don't realize that we haven't embraced everything that we are.
That's right.
And we don't love ourselves unconditionally.
What you did was you took us back to our childhood, or whenever, and you said, what are five things that have impacted your life negatively that people have said about you? And you talked about how we have internalized those things. So a lot of times we don't feel worthy of love. We don't know how to love. We haven't been loved. You think about how some of the parents, they supported their kids, but they didn't nurture. And that still goes on today. So, you know, we grow up with this thing in us, or sometimes a lot of things in us, that we think we are because people have told us that.
And what I was amazed of, and I'm amazed every time we do that exercise, is to someone who said some of these things to us, it may have seemed so minuscule,
mm-hmm.
so minor. But depending on who said what when, that minor thing that comes out of the mouth of a parent, that comes out of the mouth of a friend, that comes out of the mouth of a spouse, it may seem minuscule for that moment in time to the person who said it, but it can pierce the heart and the spirit of the person who hears it. But there comes a time, as the hearer of that word, that you've got to take that word and reframe it into the perspective that it doesn't eliminate who you are, you use it as a learning tool to propel you into a new you. That's what many of us have not done. We internalize the words, but the words became the drivers of a sad and miserable life.
Yes.
So we've got to reframe it. We've got to turn it around. If someone told you you were stupid, okay, you may have thought I was stupid. Let me show you something. Get into a book. Get yourself educated. Someone told you, oh, so you're fat and you're ugly. I don't care if you don't lose a pound on your head. Every time you step out the door, you make sure you look good. Somebody told you you'll never amount to nothing. Strategize to be somebody.
Yeah.
And if not in their eyes, make sure you're somebody in your own eyes. Make yourself happy. So that's called self-love. We've got to master self-love before any other kind of love comes to fore. This is especially important for those singles who are looking for a spouse.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't love you, we got a problem.
It's so true. It's so true. We had a listener on Sunday call us and was talking about how he was so lonely at Valentine's Day. And so I gave him my perspective, and then Brother T gave him his perspective. And, you know, I put it out there on Facebook, and the conversation just flew, because here's a guy. The guy says that I'm good looking. I'm a veteran. I'm an okay guy. And he never said anything about the Lord. And he said, but I can't find a good woman. And I said, this is a city with a lot of women. And he says, but he can't find a good woman here. And blah, 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 blah. So that conversation on Facebook went crazy.
It did.
But the thing about this young man is, and a lot of people made some great points. And I said this to him, you need to look at yourself and how you present yourself and how you're coming across to people. Because he was giving us some examples of, you know, him trying to talk to a woman walking off, and then, you know, just all kinds of madness. And but that's some introspection. I think that you need to, there's definitely some introspection. But
yeah,
the main thing, I think, that started it off is because he was saying that he was lonely at Valentine's Day. And he says, I know there's a lot of people out there that are lonely and tired of being by themselves and blah, 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 blah. And he just went on and on and on. Let him get it out. And then, you know, I began to minister to him about love and self-love and introspection and looking at yourself and all of that. So I don't know if we got through, but we said what we needed to say.
And that is such a good springboard into the concept of self-love, because what came to my mind as you were talking about this gentleman is, one, where are you looking?
Yes. Two, clubs.
What are you looking for?
I told him, you ain't going to find her at the club, dude.
Dude,
yeah.
What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And see, most of us don't know.
Right.
Most of us are just so lonely that we don't realize before we can start looking for anyone, we need to define what we need, what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And before you can do that, you need to define who you are.
Right.
Who are you? I talk to so many people who have been morphed into some being that they're not by virtue of what they've been told, how they were raised,
right,
what their dad has said about them, what their first and second wife, his first and second husband said about them, what their friends did to them. Stop. Just stop for a moment. Who are you?
Yeah.
Do you know who you are? What is your passion? It amazes me when I ask people, because I just get so passionate about people living their destiny and being happy and, you know, just being fulfilled. When I ask people, what is your passion? It amazes me the number of times people say, I don't know. But the Bible says you were born for a purpose.
That's right.
So if you were born for a purpose, God already planted something in you to give birth to. And if you can't figure out what that is, that tells me at some points in your life you've allowed life to subdue you.
To dictate to you.
To take away from you.
To
dictate to you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So before you can go out and find that somebody, and believe me, there is somebody out there for everybody.
Absolutely.
You've got to find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
What are you projecting to people that these people are walking away from you?
Yes. And you know, it kind of goes back to, do you like who you are? I asked the young man, do you know who you are? Do you like that person? You know? And so we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. We have to look at ourselves, and I think that's very tough sometimes.
Yes. And when you talk about self-love, one of the things I realized that is so true for people who really don't get that concept, they don't know what it looks like. So let me go through a list of what self-love looks like, what I call the character of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Self-loving people allow themselves to be happy and share happiness with others. Note that word, allow themselves to be happy, is a choice.
Right.
Okay? You can choose to get up in the morning and say, you know something, I'm going to make the best possible day I can of these next 24 hours. Or you can get up with a defeatist attitude and, oh, here we go again.
Right.
You choose to be happy. Self-loving people embrace their authenticity. That means you are going to project you. When you want to say something, now mind you, you temper it with love, you temper it with professionalism, you temper it with godliness. But if you have something to say, say it. Don't worry, well, you know, if I say it, is anybody going to listen? If I say it, is it going to matter? Mm-hmm. If I say it, does anybody care? Say it. If it's on your heart to say it, somebody might need to hear. And your authentic self is okay with saying what you have to say. Your authentic self is also okay if people don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Authenticity is not about people-pleasing. Because I was a people-pleaser. I had my face was right by the term people-pleaser.
So was I, yeah. As a kid, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and in my case, as an adult, huh? Mm-hmm. Until I was well into my 30s, and mm-hmm. I was a people-pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
I was a miserable people-pleaser.
Wow.
Coming into my authentic self, I realized everybody does not need to like me, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to have self-love, you can't be a people-pleaser. You love yourself, and you treat people that they're okay the way they are also.
Yeah.
They're not you, so it's okay if they disagree with you. It's okay if they don't like what you have to say about something. Dialogue, talk about it. A person of self-love will say what they have to say, and they say it freely, mm-hmm. without guilt or without recrimination. They enjoy life, and that enjoyment is a primary goal in life. They don't go around looking like they sucked on a sour lemon all night long.
Yeah.
They do not allow themselves to be mistreated by others. And the reason is simple. They know what they deserve.
Right.
If I know what I deserve, I'm not going to allow you to talk to me any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow you to talk down to me. It's not allowed. And if you insist on doing this, guess what? My life is going to be better without you.
That's right.
So if you call yourself a friend, you're going to be a friend. And if you can't be a friend, bye. But see, people who don't know themselves, they put up with friendships that are poisonous, toxic. And detrimental.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boyfriends and girlfriends, too. They're okay with making themselves a priority. It's okay for them to say, you know something, I'm going to take time for me today,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to talk. No phone calls. No interventions. I need you to, I'll call you when I want to talk to you. This is about me and God.
Mm-hmm.
My time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I deserve me time. I'm not afraid to spend time with myself. People who don't know how to love themselves, you'll find that they're always busy doing something, even if it's something that has no meaning, because they don't like to be alone.
And they don't like the silence.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because that means I got to be silent with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that I'm worthy of being with myself.
Mm.
I don't like what I see when I'm by myself. I don't like what I see when I look in the mirror. I don't like what I hear when I talk. Now, think about it. This person is now saying I'm lonely. I want somebody in my life. What do you think they're going to draw? They're going to draw somebody who is empty, somebody who has no worth, somebody who does not know how to treat them. You cannot draw value when you feel, appear, and act valueless.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to treat you only the way you allow them to be treated, and somebody of self-love will not allow themselves to be treated badly.
That's right.
They give themselves permission to succeed, be happy, and flourish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if those things, those characters I just said, if any one of those did not resonate in your spirit as if that's me and that's what I'm doing, that you need to reevaluate you, because you've got to love self before anything can come to fore and you love anybody else. That's the only way you're going to know you deserve what you desire. You're going to know what you desire, and you're going to know what not to put up with.
You know, one of the big things I think that encourages me is that God did, you know, we are his workmanship. And he made each of us unique, and he gave each of us, you know, our portion of gifts and talents and all of that. But you have to accept yourself. And that's so hard for some of us. We compare, we go on in this life being jealous or comparing ourselves to somebody else our entire lives. So we never, ever, ever get to our full potential.
That's right. And the reality is this. If you are not in a place to appreciate all that you are, then what you're going to draw is negativity.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't appreciate you, the energy, that negative energy you're putting out, is going to undermine the flow of blessings in your life, and it's going to undermine your capacity to be happy. And one of the things that keep us from self-love is we compare ourselves to others.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that. You've got to realize the word says, you are his workmanship. That's Ephesians 2:10 that you just quoted. That's serious stuff.
Yeah.
You are God's workmanship. And that word has been defined to mean masterpiece.
Mm.
And masterpieces are created one at a time.
That's right. No and two alike.
No two alike. Each one is unique.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look in the mirror, I have to realize there is nobody else like me.
That's right.
Even if I were a twin, I'd be different.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look in the mirror, I've got to see myself through the lens of Christ. I've got to see myself through the lens of the God that created me. He created me to be the me that I am. He expects me to be the best me that I can be. And if that's the case, how dare me put me on a lower rung on the totem pole?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've got to place myself in a position to shine in my own play. So many of us are sideline characters in the play about our lives.
Mm.
We don't take center stage in our own lives. Others have more value in our lives than we do. Others are more important. What they say about us is more important than what God says about us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're living this play called your life, and you don't have the starring role. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So I challenge you to look at your life. Look at the play that's your life. Who is the star of your play? And if when you open your mouth, all you can say is, so-and-so did, so-and-so said, my mama said, my daddy said, my child said, my boyfriend said, my girlfriend said, then they are truly having center stage in your life, and you have put yourself secondary to them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with doing that once is we find ourselves in a cycle of doing it all the time, such that we have no whatsoever. Others have more importance than we do. Now, as a child of God, should you consider other people and their needs? Most definitely. You give of yourself, but you don't give all of yourself to one person and have that person take control of you. And that's what many of us have done. And that person is not always a good model for us to give ourselves to.
It's so
true. It
undermines. Yeah. Yeah. It really does.
So, you have to realize the most important relationship you will ever have in this world is, one, your relationship with God, and next to that is your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have that good relationship as a foundation if you want love to flourish. Especially this year, you got all these plans for this year. How many people have we heard who wants their husband?
Yes.
Who wants their wife?
Yes.
You got to start with you.
Mm-hmm. But you got to be ready. Mm-hmm.
Be ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who you are, you're not ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful conversation and a great teaching. And this is a 4-part series. And next month we will be talking about part 2. Tell folks about Woman to Woman Keeping It Real.
Woman to Woman Keeping It Real is a meeting that we have. It's Woman to Woman Keeping It Real Fellowship. We have a meeting once a month, the second Saturday of every month. And our 4-part series is Loving Life God's Way. February was the art of loving you. We're going to talk about love and dating next month. We're going to talk about the intimate, unshakable marriage in April, and loving boundaries for a full life in May. Every month we have very good dialogue. We have very open forum discussions, women only in this forum. When we start man-to-man, some men, the men will have their opportunity. But we would love to see you come out. Our ministry is about healing, it's about hope, and it's about purpose. Proverbial Peace Revived is here to help tap into that thing that may have died so you don't know yourself, so you can truly flourish into your purpose.
Awesome, awesome. Tell folks how they can reach you.
You can reach me via email at proverbs_peace@yahoo.com. That's proverbs with an S, _peace@yahoo.com. Or feel free to give me a call at 404-510-7880. That's 404-510-7880. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Dr. Bernita Adams-Robinson, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to the next conversation.
Goodbye, Atlanta.